Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Mafkid Chavis Eitzel Chaveroi. If somebody asks somebody else to hold his basket, and there was not a designated place where it should be left, and the person who's watching it move this basket, finished tabra and broke, if as he was holding it, nishbra, it broke. So it depends. If it was l'tzarchoi, that he moved it for the benefit of himself, he wanted to use this basket, then chayif, he will be obligated to pay for it. L'tzarcho, but if he moved it for the benefit of the basket, and while he moved it, then it'll be potter. And as Rashi describes, what happened here was an oinus. And even though what happened here was something that was oinus, it depends on the circumstances if he'll be chayiv or not. However, imishinicha, after he put it back in a safe place, nishbara, it broke. At that point, bein letzarcha, it doesn't make a difference what was the reason that it was moved. He will be potter. Yichtalei balamakam. And now the Mishnah teaches us another case where the owners designated a specific place where they want this basket to be. Yichtalei balamakam. But the owners designated a place where they want it to be. V'tutlo. And the shomer moved it. V'nishbara. And it broke. Be'mitach yodei. Whether it broke while he's carrying it, b'mishinicha, or whether it broke after he put it down, if he had moved it l'tzarchoi for his own benefit, then he will be chayiv l'tzarcha. But if he moved it for the benefit of the basket, he will be potter. So the Rashi explains that once he put it down, he put it back to its safe place. So at that point, then it's considered that we go back to where we started. Whereas if he didn't put it in a safe place, then it's not considered that we go back to where we started, and that's why he'll be chayif. Ask the Gemara. And this is the way the Shita explains the question of the Gemara. He says, if for the machloikis that we have and we're going to learn between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, we could understand the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. Because the Reisha speaks about a situation where the owners did not designate a place for this basket, and the Sefer speaks about a place where the owners did designate. And that's enough of a difference. But points to Shita that as we're going to learn now, the Machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rekiva. And when we learn the Machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rekiva, we see that according to their understanding, that is not a consideration. So now we need to understand, since whether the owner did or didn't designate a place ought not to be a consideration, so now we need to understand how to understand our Mishnah. For ask the Gemara Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel he, it goes according to Rabbi Shmuel, Dama loy bin in das balam. If, as we learned in Masechta Bakama, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that if Shomer took something that didn't belong to him, and then without permission, and then he puts it back from where he took it, we don't need to have, the owner does not need to have known what happened. As soon as he put it back, it's considered that he's back to where we started. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Hagonav Talamin Eder, if somebody stole a sheep, or sell him in a kiss, or he stole some money, the Makam Shagonav Yachser. All he needs to do is put it back to where he took it from. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that if he didn't put it back, if the owner is not aware that he put it back, then it's not considered an act of Hashava. And therefore, if it's not considered an act of Hashava, so therefore he's still going to be chayiv for anything that will happen to this object. And as we learned the Gemara in Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the way Rashi and other Rishonim explained this Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Akiva, the moment the Shomer picked it up for his own purposes, he's without right, at that point he became, his status as a Shomer ends, because he took it where he wasn't supposed to take it. What happens here is, when he puts it back, he reverts back to being a Shomer. The Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, is at what point does he revert back to being a Shomer? According to Rabbi Shmuel, as soon as he puts it back to where it was supposed to be, he reverts back to being a Shomer. Whereas, according to Rabbi Akiva, he can't revert back to being a Shomer unless the owners are aware that he put it back. And without the owners being aware that he put it back, he does not revert back to being a Shomer. So ask the Gemara, if according to Rabbi Shmuel, all that's required is to put it back from where you took it, Rabbi Shmuel, my area lo yichta. What's the difference if the owner had designated a place or not designated a place where this object is supposed to be? Afilu yachta nami, in a place where the owner had designated a place, it doesn't make a difference. The moment he puts it back, and we don't need the owner's knowledge, he reverts back to being a Shomer. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is coming to teach us as follows. Certainly in a place where the owner designated a place, and the Shomer put it back there, the Mekaymahu. So when he put it back to where it's supposed to be, certainly he could be back to being a Shomer. Ella filo lo yichtai. Even if the owner had not designated a place, the la mekaymahu, so we can't say that where the Shomer put it back is he put it back where it's supposed to be. Still, as soon as you put it down, lo binin das balam, we don't need their consent, and it's considered, as long as you put it in a safe place, you can again be considered a Shomer. Ask the Gemara, Eima Seifa, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah. And we have a very good explanation for the ratio of the Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the Seifa said, Yichtaloya Balamokim, if the owners had designated a place where they wanted, the Tiltala and the Shomer moved it from that space. The Nishbar and it broke, Beimitach Yoda, whether it broke while he was carrying it, Beim Mishnicha, or after, even if he put it back down to where it's supposed to be, it makes a difference why he moved it. If he moved it letzarchoi for his own benefit, he will be chayiv. If he moved it letzarcho, if he moved it for the benefit of the object, he'll be potter. Says, ask the Gemara, this clause of the Mishnah clearly also in Rabbi Akiva, follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, dama bin and das balam. And therefore, if I took it and I put it back, as long as if I didn't have a right to take it, I can't, it's not considered that I put it back because there was no das balam. Says the Gemara, if we're going to be following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, so why does the Mishnah differentiate my iri yichtai? Why does the Mishnah differentiate whether there was a place for this object designated or not? The halacha ought to be afilo lo yichtoi nami, even if he doesn't designate. Designation of a place of where it should be is not a cogent issue. The cogent issue is das balam. Do the owner know or not know? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Sefer according to Rekiv is as follows. Lo mi bai kama. Lo mi bai lo yichtoi. Certainly in a place where a place wasn't designated. The lab mekaymahu. So you can't say I put it back to where it belongs. And certainly Rabbi Akiva says it's not considered returned until there's das balam. Ella filo yichtanami. But even in a situation where there was a place designated for it, so I put it back to where it belongs. The mekaymahu, I put it back to where it belongs. Still, according to Rabbi Akiva, that is inadequate because according to Rabbi Akiva, you always need das balam. But ask the Gemara, we've very well explained the Mishnah, but we have here a big question, because the ratio seems to represent the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seif is representing the opinion of Akiva. Answers the Gemara in. Damar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Man de metangim li chavis aliva decha tana. The one that could explain this Mishnah of Chavis, that it should be consistent, the Reisha and the Seifa, both the opinion of one Tana, Mevlina Mane Basrela Be Masusa. I'm going to carry his clothing to the bathhouse. And the way the Rishonim and Achronim explain this Mishnah, this Gemara, is that a Talmud is supposed to, the way somebody, we've had this in previous Shiurim, the way an individual can become a Talmud of a Rebbe is by connecting himself to the Rebbe to the degree that he's ready to serve the Rebbe all the time. And the Mitzvah Eisen actually takes this even a step further. The Halacha is, explains the Mitzvah Eisen, that one of the differences between an Eved Kanani and an Eved Ivri is that an Eved Kanani, the Eved Ivri, has to be treated with great respect. And included in what that means when we say that an Eved Kanani has to be treated to with great respect is that carrying the clothing to the bathhouse is not considered something that an Eved Ivri should have to do. An Eved Kanani, on the other hand, is expected to do anything for his owner, including taking his clothing to the bathhouse. So what Rabbi Yochanan said is that I'm prepared to accept that I will be a Talmud of whoever is able to explain the Mishnah to me. Not only will I be a Talmud, but I'm going to be a Talmud to the degree, I'm going to be a Talmud to the degree that I'm going to not just do whatever the Ivri does for his owner, I'm even going to do whatever Kanani does for his owner. Says the Gemara, there are three Amroim who could explain the Mishnah, how that the Mishnah could be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara, this, so if that's the case, that there are three ways of successfully being able to explain our Mishnah, that it should follow the opinion of one Tana, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan answer it this way? So the Rishonim answer that Rabbi Yochanan did not feel that the way they're explaining the Mishnah is what the Mishnah really means. Since he didn't accept that the way they're, to say it a little stronger, Rabbi Yochanan did not expect to explain the Mishnah in this way. And these Amoraim were not here really to answer the question that Rabbi Yochanan has posed. What they were doing is they were teaching us the Mishnah, how they understood the Mishnah. What happens is, based on the way that they understand the Mishnah, the question Rabbi Yochanan has been asking doesn't exist. But Rabbi Yochanan did not agree that this is a proper way of explaining the Mishnah. Since Rabbi Yochanan did not agree that this is the proper way of explaining the Mishnah, his question does still remain. And therefore explains the Gemara. Tergumah, Rabbi Yaakov Abba explained that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Tergumah, Rabbi Yaakov Abba Kamei Derav, Shenotlo Amanas L'Gozloi. The Shomer picked it up with the intention to steal it. And therefore, even if that was his intention, everybody will agree that you have to have a full-fledged tashava. And the Gemara will explain this. Tigmer of Nosson bar Abba, Kamei de Rav, that what happened here was, Shenot lo amnas l'shloich b'yad. We know the Torah says that even a shemachinam, whose level of responsibility is a low-level responsibility, but if he was shaleich yad, if what he was watching, he was shaleich yad, he took for himself, at that point, he's chayiv. As the Torah says, he has to even make a shvua im lo sholach yodoi b'mlechus reyu. Says the Gemara, what is the machloikus between Rav Yaakov bar Abba and Rav Nosson bar Abba that they explain the Mishnah differently? Says the Gemara, their machloikus is b'shlichus yad tzorach chisorin. If to be considered a shleich yad, you have to do something to alter, to depreciate, deplete the value of the object. Mandam l'gozloi, the first mandam that said that the case here was they wanted to steal it, and not just shlichus yad, says because this is not considered a situation of shlichus yad, because his opinion is, kesav shlichus yad tzorch chisarim, something has to happen to it. Mandam l'shloich b'yad, that shlichus yad is Kesava Shlichus Yad Ein Bei Chesaron. It's Shlichus Yad without a Chesaron. The way I saw the Rishonim explain this Machloikus is Shlichus Yad a form of Gezela, or is Shlichus Yad an entirely new din that was set to Shomer? If we say that Shlichus Yad is Gezela, so therefore the halacha is it has to be the exact same as Gezela. If you say, however, it's a special din in Shomrim, then even Ein Bechsar, when you didn't really do anything, it's already considered you a Shleich Yad. Maskevloi Rav Sheshes asks Rav Sheshes, Midei Notla Ketani? The Mishnah didn't use the word Notla. The word Notla would indicate that he took it for himself. The Mishnah just used the word Tiltla Ketani. And the word Tiltla means that he moved it. So how could we explain that he was trying to steal it? Says the Gemara. What happened over here was the Shomer moved it. It was an object that he wanted to stand on to be able to get birds down with it. And the Tanav Am Mishnah holds, if you take something without permission, you're considered a gazlan. So I saw a very powerful vart. There was once the Avos Yisrael, one of the previous Vishnitz Rebbes, was very, very sensitive to wasting time. And there was once a person who was locked into shul. The Gabbai had closed up the shul, not realizing that this person was still left in the shul. The person who was left in the shul started to see if there was a way how he could get out. And he found a way to get out by finding the key to one of the doors. When the Gabbai came and in the morning he couldn't find that key, he was very upset. So the Havas Yisrael said, that's pshat what the Gemara says, the Shoyl Shlomadas Gazlan. And the question is, if he just borrowed it without permission, but he wants to give it back, why is he considered a Gazlan? So he says, according to what just happened, we can understand why. This person who took the key because he wanted to be able to get out of the shul and didn't return it to where it was supposed to be or didn't return it to the Gabbai, he didn't mean to steal the key. He didn't mean to keep the key. He just meant to keep it, use it to get out. But what happened because of what he did? What happened because of what he did was that the Gabbai lost time in order to try to find that, in order to try to find the key. And the biggest gezela that you could do to a person is to waste his time. So when I am a shoyl shlemidas, when I take something from you without you knowing about it, then and you're going to lose time looking for it, that's what makes me into a gazlan, because I wasted your time. And wasting somebody's time, he said, is the greatest act of gezela. So now that we've had different ways of understanding the Mishnah, says the Gemara, now we say, Kula Rabbi Shmuel. All of these different interpretations are consistent with Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Sefer, but the Sefer speaking about a case, that he put it back to a place that the owner had not designated. And therefore, in these cases, in a normal case, Rabbi Shmuel holds that just putting it back from where you took it, that's good enough, and even if the owner doesn't know. But in these cases where I was a gazlan or whatever, then it's not considered that I returned it even according to Rabbi Shmuel, and that's why I'll be chayiv. So now ask the Gemara, so why didn't Rabbi Yochanan agree to any of these interpretations of the Mishnah? And by interpreting the Mishnah that way, the entire Mishnah will follow the opinion of Rabbi Yishmol, says the Gemara, Hanicha, according to him, Hanicha v'makayma mashma. Hanicha means that you put it back to where you took it from. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan cannot agree with these explanations. Itma. So now that we spoke about Shlichus Yad, the Gemara goes into this sugya. Says the Gemara, Itma Rav Levi, Chanama Shlichus Yad, Shrichi Chesaron, one man holds that it's considered shlichus yad only if you depreciated it. V'char amar shlichus yad ein tzar chesaron. And the other man d'amar holds that shlichus yad does not chesaron. Torah teaches us that a ganef is chayif to pay for his stolen item, no matter what happened to it, even if it was lost or destroyed due to an oinus. Now the Torah, as we said earlier, teaches us there's a new din by a shomer, that a shomer who takes something that he's watching without permission, and he's chayiv as soon as he shleich yad, if anything happens to it, even an oinus. So the question is, what is the special halacha that we're learning about a shomer in shlichus yad? Why should he be any different than a ganef? The Mishnah says, we just learned that the Mishnah teaches us that if a shomer was asked to watch a barrel of wine, we're going to learn a Mishnah, I'm sorry, on Daf Mem Gimel, that if a shomer was asked to watch a barrel of wine and he lifts it with the intent to steal a cup of wine and then the barrel breaks, the shomer has to pay for the entire barrel. And the Truma Sakri explains that a ganef who would take a barrel with the intent of stealing a cup of wine is only chayef for one cup of wine. He won't be liable for the rest of the barrel because he never intended to steal and acquire the rest of the barrel. But the Torah is teaching us that a shomer is different, and a shomer will be chayef for the entire barrel. That's one difference between a shomer and a ganef. Another pshat that Truma Sakri suggests, that if not for the special din of Shlichus Yad, we would think that if a shomer takes the Bekadim when the intent to steal it, he doesn't become a ganef at that time, because we would think perhaps that the Yad shomer is Kiyad Baal HaBayis, that the shomer is considered an extension of the Baal HaBayis, and therefore he would only be chayiv for Einzim. He has to do some form of kinyan gezeila. Teaches us the Torah that the shomer who takes bekadim with the intent to steal it becomes obligated in einzim, even though he didn't do an act of kinyan. And we don't say yad shomer kiyad baal habayis if there was an intention to be shaleich yad. The Ritva says that a ganef who steals an object with the intent to pay for it is not chay for einzim. On the other hand, the parsha of Shlichus Yad teaches us that a shomer is obligated in einzim, and even if he did it with the intention to pay for what he took. Says the Gemara, Itestayim. So we had this machlokes now, if Shlichus Yad requires chesaron or not. Says the Itestayim, the Rav Udom Shlichus Yad ain't a tzoreich chesaron. That is Rav's opinion that it doesn't. That's Rav's opinion that it doesn't require a chesaron to be considered shlichus yad. It doesn't require a chesaron to be considered shlichus yad. This time, the Rav who dama shlichus yad ain't shlichus yad. You don't have to have a chesaron to make a shlichus yad. And Levi is the one that disagrees. The Tanya, why does the Gemara say this? Because the halach is roya shaya roya edroy. If a shepherd was taking care of his animals, v'nich edroy bali ear, and he left his sheep and he came to the city, or baz avatarif, and a fox came and ripped and and wounded the animals of Bari Vidaras. And the difference between a drisa and between a lion and a wolf is that a lion takes whatever it has and where it is, it rips it and eats it. Whereas a wolf takes the animal that it's attacking to where it is and there it attacks it. Neich makovet termir lailab, that potter. Because he's going to be potter, because this is certainly a situation of an oinus. However, if he put his stick or his coat on top of this animal, chayiv, because that already makes it shlichus yad. Says the Gemara, Vavinabo, and trying to understand that Bryce, the question was, Mishum Daniach Maklet Amelia Aleo, because he put his stick or his coat on it. Chayef Hashaklinu. He took off these objects from the animal before they were attacked. So why should he be held? Why should he be held responsible? So it's certainly not considered a case of pshia, Rashi explains. It's not considered negligence because it was normal that they would leave the animals out. The issue here only is shlichus yad. And the question is, why is the shlichus yad? So in order to understand the brisa, we're going to have to explain that not only did he put his makliv a tamila on top of the animals, but oidin aleh, they're still on top of the animal. So the question is, why should it make a difference if they're still on top? Haloi mashcha, the roya didn't take it. And if the halach is that shlichus yad requires a kinyan, says the Gemara of Amrav Shmuel by Yitzchak Amrav, shekisha b'makal, it's not just that he put his objects on top of it, he hit the animal. And v'rotzel l'fanov, and the animal ran because of him hitting it, and because he ran because he hit it, that's why it's considered shlichus yad. Tver Shloima says a beautiful pshat. We know, as we're learning right now, that one of the ways of affecting a kinyan is with mashicha. But the Gemara, often in explaining the kinyan of a mashicha, explains that mashicha can be done in one of two ways. One is, as we just learned, a kish b'makel, you take a stick and you hit it. And the other one is karaloi v'bo. We call the animal, and the animal comes towards us because we call the animal. So the Tver Shlaima says, the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu said to his children, Hayasfu v'agidu lechem, esha shiyikra eschem b'achras hayomim. He used the word yikra. He says that Klai Yisrael is going to come and wait for Mashiach, the achras hayomim. And it's going to be a difficult galus. And we're going to be already so desperate for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back to Him, as the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Mashcheni Erechrecha V'Narutza, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will draw us back close to Him. But we're learning now that there are two ways how to affect that type of a kinyan. One way of affecting that type of a kinyan is Hikisha V'Makel, to hit the animal. And the other way we're learning of accomplishing the Mashicha is by calling the animal. Yaakov Avinu said to his children, says the Tver Shloima, Asher Sheyikra Eschem Barachos Hayomim, I daven for you and I give you a bracha that when Mashiach comes, B'mheira B'yameinu, the way you will be able to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by Yikra, that Kairi Yiba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just draw us close. And the one has to show him, has to be any makel to bring us close. But the question is that we're learning that where was the shlichus yad here? The shlichus yad is by him taking hold of the animal. But the question is, why is that considered shlichus yad? V'loi chasro. He hasn't damaged the animal in any way with doing this. Elav shema minoah. From here we see that Rav's opinion is shlichus yad ain't a tzricha chisaron. Ema, says the Gemara, we don't have to say that it just hit it. What happened was, Hikisha b'makel, he hit it with a stick, and what happened was, by hitting it by the stick, it got weakened. Deka nami diktani, Shikisha b'makel. So from here we perhaps see that shlichus yad, on the contrary, needs Hikisha. And there's a machlokes rishonim. How far does Hikish B'makel, if we learn that Shlichus Yad, Tzricha Chesaron, how much of a Chesaron is necessary? Is it to the degree that it should be noticeable? Or as long as the animal got weakened, even if that depreciation is not noticeable, it wouldn't make a difference. Umid Rav, so says the Gemara, now that we've proven, the Rav's opinion is that Shlichus Yad, Tzricha Chesaron, Levi, who's disagreeing, is obviously of the opinion that Tzav Shlichus Yad ain't a Tzricha Chesaron. Ask the Gemara, my time the Levi, answers the Gemara, Omer Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yosef ben Neroi, B'shuna Shlichus Yad HaOmer B'shoy Mesachar. There's a difference between the Shlichus Yad, where the Torah says, by Shoy Mesachar, versus the Shlichus Yad, Hamura B'Shchei Mechinam, that the Torah says by Shchei Mechinam. The Torah, when it speaks about Shlichus Yad by a Shchei Mechinam, is to teach us that a Shchei Mechinam is chayv an oinsim if there was Shlichus Yad. When the Torah says, so why was it necessary to teach us Shlichus Yad by a Shchei Mesachar? If a Shchei Mechinam, who, as we keep on saying, level of responsibility is less than the level of responsibility by a Shchei Mechinam, by a Shchei Mesachar, is chayv for Shlichus Yad. Certainly that ought to be the halacha by a Shchei Mesachar. It must be to teach us that even a Shlichus, why did the Torah teach a Shlichus Yad by a Shchei Mesachar as well? Says Levi, it must be to teach us that Shlichus Yad ain't a tzarech chesaron. Vani Omer, it says Rabbi Yochanan, I don't agree, and I say ain't a mishuna, and the halacha is that the pasuk is not here to teach us that then. Says the Gemara, why? My mishuna, why did the Torah have to say, the way to understand the Gemara is, if the Torah just wants to teach us the basic din of Shlichus Yad, shouldn't it have been adequate that the Torah says it by Shem Mechinim, and we'll know from Shem Mesachar, says the Gemara. Shloi Timer, Shlichus Yad Shem Mesachar, and the Gemara explains itself. It shouldn't be necessary for the Torah saying Shlichus Yad Shem Mesachar, but Torah is Shem Mechinim. We shall learn the Chaloch from Shem Mechinim, and we'll learn. Or Ma Shem Mechinim, Shapot B'Gneva V'Aveda, Shalch B'Yad Chayiv, Shem Mesachar, Shechayiv B'Gneva V'Aveda, Loi Koshkein, that is Chayiv for Shlichus Yad. My Hichsa Kisvinu Rechmona, why did the Torah have to say the din of Shlichus Yad by Hashem Mesachar? Presumably, Loi Malach, to teach us that Shlichus Yad ain't a Sarech Chesaron. And the Tosis points out, so yes, now we understand that the Torah taught us the halacha of Shlichus Yad by Hashem Mesachar, and at this point it's superfluous, but it's here to teach us that Shlichus Yad and Tzricha Chesaron. But ask Tosfos, so we'll only know that the Shlichus Yad by Shai Mesachar doesn't need a Chesaron. How will we know that that is also the halacha by a Shai Merchinah? So Tosfos says that once the Torah defines what Shlichus Yad is, and now we're saying that the fact that the Torah mentioned Shlichus Yad by Shai Mesachar is here to provide us with that definition, that ain't a tzricha chesaron, then it's one, Shlichus Yad is consistent, and Shlichus Yad is always the same, and therefore Shlichus Yad by Shai Mechinam will also require, ain't, will not require chesaron. Vani Omer, and says the Gemara, I hold, says Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Elazar, the Amachad v'chad esi, achasi, both psukim, the din of Shlichus Yad that's stated by Shai Mechinam, and the din of Shlichus Yad that was said by Shai Mesachar, were necessary. My Dovda, why Achas? Why do I need both of them? Shemdekel Mifrach, because there's obvious, because we can't necessarily say that a Shem Sacher is stricter than a Shem Mechinim. And if by Shem Mechinim is chai by Shlichus Yad, certainly that will be the halacha by Shem Sacher. Because we could ask a question. Mal Shem Mechinim shekem shalom to shlumei keifu b'toyer tanis ganef. If something was, if a Shem Mechinim holds on to an object, and now the owner comes and says, give me back my object, and he falsely claims that it was stolen, Toyin Tanis Ganef, and then it turns out that he was lying, so he is considered the thief, and he's going to have to pay kefil, versus a Shai Mesachar. If a Shai Mesachar is going to say it was stolen, what's going to happen is, he's going to have, that's not a legitimate excuse, and he's going to have to pay, and he's going to have to pay Karen. So there's a case where a Shai Mechinam is stricter than a Shai Mechinam, than a Shai Mesachar. Because a Shai Mechinam will pay Kefil by Toyin Tanis Ganef, and a Shai Mesachar will only pay Kefil by, will only pay Kefil by Toyin Tanis Ganef. And as I saw Ramosha Zatzal, in the Divrei Moshe explains, Rabbi Yochanan's thinking is that since it's more likely or it's easier to get paid from a Shem HaSachar, even though you're going to end up with less, because you're only going to end up with keren, not kefil. Rav Yochanan's approach is, I'd rather take less, but know that I'm going to get the keren, and get less, versus taking more, but not be certain that I'm going to get it. It says the Gemara, Mandaloi Paruch, the one that disagrees, says, Sava Kanabalai Shvuah, Adifa Mikael Vishvuah, Karen is more than Kefil. Rav Amar, Loitimer, Shlichsia, Leibishamachin of Leibishamachar. Rav says, it really wasn't necessary for the Torah to say Shlichsia, not by Shemachin and not by Shloim the Sachar. And that's how Rav is going to explain why Shlich Siad, according to Rav Levi, and it's Tzricha Chesaron. The Tasty Mishoyel, when we can learn it all from Mishoyel. Mashal, that's Baal Kovid. When I borrow something and I use it, obviously, that's the whole purpose of my borrowing it. The halacha is that I'm Shal Chiyad, but if I intend to keep it for myself, I'll be Chayiv. Shemachinah v'shemach Sachar, like Koshkein, if I take it to use for myself, which I'm not allowed to do, I certainly should be chayiv. Lama nemer. Why was it stated by the Shem Echinim Shem Sachar? Chada, one place that the Torah said it, is to teach us the Allah, the Levi's been teaching us, Laimalach, the Shlich Siyar Einet Tzricha Chesaron, Vidach, to tell us another Allah. Loitayma Daya Lava Medin Lius Kanidayim. Tarek Daisha says that after Miriam spoke badly of Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said a Kal V'Chomer. And the Kal V'Chomer was, the Kal V'Chomer that was said was that if she would have embarrassed her father, she should be separated for 7 days. Certainly if she went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 14 days. But Dayalav Min Adin Liz Kanidin, when we learn something, when something serves as a source for teaching us halacha, it can't be what we learn from it cannot be stricter than the source. So if we're going to learn the halacha of Shlich Siad from Shoyl, the halacha is a Shoyl, there's a special halacha by Shoyl, a ball of imoy. Tarek Dosh Pashas Mishpatim says by a Shoyl, and ball of imoy lo yishalim. Av Shemichin Mishemisachar, if I was learning from Shoyl, I would think that you're only chayiv. That there's when there's ball of imoy, there's no chi by shem echanim and shem esachar. Ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Omer, but according to the opinion, Rav's opinion, that held the shlich siyad tzrichi chisarin, and now we have two superfluous psukim by the din of shlich siyad, both by shem echanim and by shem esachar. Hani tarti shlich siyad lomeli, why do we need these two psukim? Chada, we could understand, as we've been explaining, to teach us love and din liyus kanidan. As we just learned, that there is no din of ball of imai by shemichinim shemisachar. Vidach lechitanya, to teach us that nikra balabayis elohim, the pasuk is teaching us to be chayif kefil, you have to have shvua. At the oimel shvua, doesn't mean that he had to swear falsely, or ein el ladin. The Torah says that you have to take him to, if Shemichinim stole the object, in other words, he was watching it, and then he stole it, and as soon as he stole it, he'll be chayiv, even if there was no shvua, says the Gemara. Nema shlich siyad lamata by Shemisachar, v'nema shlich siyad lamala by Shemichinim, ma'la halen. When we speak about a Shemisachar, it means with a shvua, as the pasuk explicitly says, Shvus Hashem ti ben shneim imloy shalach yodoy. Af kam by Shemichinam, when the Torah says that he's chayiv for shlichus yad, he's only chayiv for shlichus yad when he made a shvua. So now Rav has two reasons for the psukim. One to teach us that there's no ball of imoy, and one to teach us the halacha that the Shemichinam is only chayiv l'shvua if he made that false claim with a shvua.